Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is daf Kuf, middle of Perek Chelek. We are on daf Tadisat Samad Beis 199b, and we just got up to the two dots towards the bottom of the page. About two-thirds down on the page as the lines get wide. It's another six lines down from there, starting with the words Amar Rav Alexandria. Talked a little bit yesterday about heresy, about apikorsis. Today, that will be the main topic for today. We'll talk about a heretic, define a heretic, and we're also going to define today heretical works. Daf Kuf and Sanhedrin is one of those basic gemaras, basic dafim through Shas, where the terms that come up throughout Shas of an apikoris and a sefer haminim will be better defined after today. Amar Rav Alexandria, we are going to continue where we left off yesterday. A person who's learned Torah Lishma. Right? Torah Lishma is a term that's used very often. Literally translated, it means Torah for Torah's own sake. Right? The Rambam writes in his Perush that whenever we talk about Torah Lishma, we mean learning Torah without the expectation of getting reward. Usually we do mitzvahs in this world because, as we've been discussing now for some time, you get rewarded for doing the mitzvahs, right? In Shema, that's exactly what we say, that we do the mitzvahs now, then we're going to get rewarded. But nevertheless, Torah Lishma is a desire to learn Torah just for the fact that you're going to learn Torah, and not for any ulterior motive, and not for any reward-based motive. So if you do so, the Gemara says you're going to make shalom between the heavens and the earth. Shenemar Isaac Hazek b'Mauzi Yaseh Shalom Yaseh Li. You'll make peace unto me. Rav Amar Kilo Bana Palchin Shamala V'Shamata. It's like building palaces. Palaces up above, palaces below. Shenemar says in the pasuk, V'Asim Devarei B'Ficha V'Tzal Yadi Kisisichal Entor Shamayim V'Lo Yaseid Aretz. To plant up in the heavens and to establish down here on the earth. Rav Yochanan Amar. You protect the whole world kulo. The tzel yadi, using the shade of the hand, you will cover it. You're going to be a protection over the entire world. Levi amar af mekarvis geula. You will hasten the geula. Shenemar ula amar letzion ami ata. Amar yishlakish kol amalamed es ben chaver Torah. What about teaching Torah to ben chaver, to the son of your friend? Maale alav akasav ki ilu asahu. It's like you made that individual. Shenemar, v'esanefesh asher asu b'charan, Avram Avinu. Actually, the pasuk describes asu nefesh, he created souls. Right? He didn't create the souls, but he just taught them Torah. Gemara says, bingo, that's exactly correct. By teaching them Torah, so it's as if you made them. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kilu asan, l'divrei Torah. It's like you made the divrei Torah. By teaching Torah to others, you were like, animate the Torah itself. Shenamar, Ushmartim as divrei habris hazos va'asisem osam. You will do them. The simple pshat in the pasuk is you're going to do the mitzvos. Now we're going to say not a simple pshat in the pasuk. We'll say more of a drush. You will actually do the words. You will make the words that you teach to others. You animate the words that you give unto others. Rav Amar Kilu Asal Atzmo. It's as if you made yourself. Shenamar va'asisem osam. Al tikrei osam el atem. You're forming yourself. You're creating yourself by teaching others Torah. Amar Rabbi Abal Kol Amasis Chaver LeDvar Mitzvah Mala Alav Akasav Kilu Asaho. If you force somebody to do a mitzvah, right? Compel, motivate, whatever softer language you want to use. But if you force somebody to do a mitzvah, it's as if you did the mitzvah yourself. Shenamar Umatcha Asher Kisa Bo Asayor. Right? With the staff that you hit the Nile with. What do you mean? Moshe didn't hit it. Aaron did it. When you force somebody to do a mitzvah, as if you did the mitzvah yourself. By the way, it's the opposite by an avera, right? By avera, we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, right? That if I get somebody else to do an avera, so that avera never translates to me, right? I may have inspired and motivated and instructed and whatever you want to say, but he gets the avera. I don't get the avera. But by a mitzvah, the power of a mitzvah is much stronger. If I force somebody to do a mitzvah, if I motivate somebody to do a mitzvah, it does translate back to me, part of the reward of doing that mitzvah comes back to me. Okay. Good. The Gemara now is going to spend a good part of the rest of today's daf dealing with definitions. If you remember now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is back on Daf Tzadi, 10 pages ago. And the Mishnah said there are certain people who do not have a share in the world to come. Right? The exceptions are those people who don't say Tchias HaMeitzim in Zmin HaTorah. And some people who say Torah is not Min HaShamayim. Okay. Then the Mishnah said an Apikoros. Right? An Apikoros does not get a portion of the world to come, and it would be very extraordinarily helpful if we knew what an Apikoros was. Good. So that's going to be our Gemara for some time. And before I go turn to the Gemara, just one thing. Rabbi Akiva Omer Apikoros B'Sfar Machitzonim. Rabbi Akiva says someone who reads Sfar Machitzonim, external works. Okay? We will discuss later on this morning what Rabbi Akiva means when he talks about the external works. Okay.
Sorry. Question.
Yes.
I just sat down in my video complex for the translation of the word in the art scroll is cause, produce, rather than force. What was the difference?
I don't think so. We have a concept. I'll tell you where else this comes up by forcing get hamausha, right? It's the same basic idea. If I force somebody to give a get. So it happens to be over there, the get's not valid. You can't force somebody to give a get. He has to give it on his own will and volition. But there's just another place in halacha where you find the same terminology. And over there, certainly it means forced. But I don't know. It could be a subtlety that I'm just not sensitive to. But seems to be the same. Okay, Gemara Amar, sorry. Apikoros. Where did I leave off? Yeah. Rav Chanina Amitavayu. Zem Avazatam Chacham. So... Rav and Rav Chanina both say someone who's mevaz a Talmud Chacham, someone who derides or disgraces a Talmud Chacham. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua, Ben Levi Amri Zeh mevaz a chavero b'fnei Talmud Chacham, deriding or disgracing somebody in front of a Talmud Chacham. Okay, different levels of who you're deriding, but basically it's showing a lack of respect either directly towards the Talmud Chacham or somebody else in front of the Talmud Chacham. Okay, now both of them are bad. Clearly, that's not the issue. The issue over here is really an issue of definition. What we want to understand and surmise is what is the precise definition of the word apikoros. So over here on the table right now, we have two definitions. One is a disrespect directly to the Talmud Chacham, or two, a disrespect to others in front of the Talmud Chacham. Okay. Bishlam alaman da'aman vaza chaver b'fnei Talmud Chacham, apikoros have mevaza Talmud Chacham atzmo megala panim b'tor shaloka alacha. So the Gemara says, I'm more comfortable with the idea that disrespecting a friend in front of a Talmud Chacham is an apikoros, because then that leaves me with another expression of Megala Panim B'Torah Shelo Kahalacha, and what's that? That's disrespecting the Talmud Chacham himself. So in other words, I have both concepts, and I have both terms to satisfy both concepts. That would be great. But if disrespecting a Talmud Chacham himself, if that's the definition of an apikoros, megala panim b'torah kigomai. What is then the definition of megala panim b'torah? What does that mean? We thought it meant showing disrespect to a Talmud Chacham, but if the definition of an apikoros is showing disrespect to a Talmud Chacham, megala panim has got to be something else. What is that? So kigomai Menashe ben Chizkia. So the Gemara says, go back to what we learned yesterday. Menashe ben Chizkiah. Menashe, son of Chizkiah, who, what did he do? Oh, he just made fun of Pesukim. Oh, that is going to be Megala Panim B'Torah. Megala Panim B'Torah literally translates, you show your face to the Torah. Meaning it's just such a lack of respect to the Torah. So originally we thought it meant lack of respect to Talmid HaChachamim. The Gemara says, no, that will assign to Apikoros. What are we going to do with Megala Panim B'Torah? Meaning you show disrespect to the actual Torah itself. Well, how? By quoting Pesukim and saying, ridiculous, I don't understand why this Pesuk is here. Like the example that we had yesterday, right? The sister of Timna, right? We need to know the sister of Timna. Reuven was plucking the Dudaim in the springtime. I don't need to know that information. Who cares what season it is? So again, that was the Menashe ben Chizki approach. We'll just make fun of Pesukim. So the Gemara says, that's Megala Panim B'Torah. Megala Panim Batara. Now, what we'll do is, we'll basically have the same discussion, but instead of our springboard being Apikores, the springboard will be Megala Panim Batara. So, what is the definition of Megala Panim Batara? So again, we'll start off with the same Machlokas, Rav Rechanin, Amri Zeh Mavaz, Tamachacham, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yishuv, Ben Levi, Amri Zeh Mavaz, Eschaver, Bifnei Tamachacham. So again, your two options are disrespecting the Talmud Chacham, or B, disrespecting somebody in front of the Talmud Chacham. Bishlam laman damem mevaz the Talmud Chacham atzmo migala panim b'torah have. So if it's disrespecting the Talmud Chacham himself, that actually works out good, because then mevaz the chaver b'fnei Talmud Chacham apikaris have. Because then disrespecting a friend in front of a Talmud Chacham, so that would be an apikaris. That's fine. Now we have good definitions for both terms. But if Megala Panim is a disrespect of your friend in front of a Talmud Chacham, Megala Panim Torah Have, Apikaris Kegomai. So then what's the definition of an Apikaris? So Amr Rav Yosef Kegon Hani Damre Manahanu La Rabbanan Lididu Kare Lididu Tzni. So then we'll give another definition of an Apikaris. Right? Rav Yosef says, you know what a definition of an Apikaris is? Someone who makes the following statement about the Talmidei Chachamim. What's the point of them learning? They're just doing it to benefit themselves. It only they reap sukkim for themselves. They learn mishnayos for themselves. It doesn't help other people. There's no benefit. There's no greater benefit of them learning Torah. As we learned just a little bit earlier this morning, they're megin akol ha'olam. They protect the whole world. Their learning protects the whole world. And the apikaris is the one who says no, it doesn't. It just it's selfish act. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't. There's no greater effect of learning other than the fact that they're just learning. That's what the apikaris says. So the Gemara says that's Rav Yosef's definition of what an apikaris is, or what an apikaris would say. It's interesting. You'll see very often throughout this entire discussion, it's very hard to define what an apikaris is. It's easier to give examples of what an apikaris is. And you'll see throughout a lot of the discussion today, rather than just giving an objective definition, the Gemara is going to go much easier to examples of what an apikaris is. Amle Abai Hamigala Panim B'Torah Namihu Dechziv. So the Gemara says that I don't like that as a definition for apikaris. That really also is Megala Panim B'Torah, right? That's insolence. It's disrespect to Talmidei Chachamim. Had it not been for my bris, yomam v'layla, what is my covenant? My covenant is Torah. Without the Torah, there would not be chukos shamayim v'aretz, the laws of nature, right? Heaven and earth, they wouldn't exist. So the megala panim b'Torah is also a function of saying, there's no point in them learning. There's no greater good in them learning. That's megala panim b'Torah. So we're still struggling to find what would be a good example of an apikaris as opposed to megala panim b'Torah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak mehacha namishma mina shenemar v'nasasi l'chol ha'makom ba'avuram. Also, just by the way, another pasuk that indicates that the Talmud Chacham supports the entire world. V'nasasi l'chol ha'makom ba'avuram. I literally lift the place on their behalf. So you see that this idea of the Talmud Chacham learning, and he supports the world. He's Yisod HaOlam. He's the foundation of the world. So you see this in Psukim and Brachos and Yirmiyahu. So once again, we want now some other definition of what an apikaris is. Ella, kigon diyasev kami rabbe, you sing in front of your rabbi, v'nafla shmaita beduch v'achrita, and the sugya that you're learning is extracted from another place, another source. And you say, we say this from over there, meaning that despite the fact that you are learning with your Rebbe, and really everything that you learn with your Rebbe really should be assigned to him, credit should go to him, and you say, Hachi Amrin and Hasam, we say this over there, as if to say that me and my Rebbe, we're pretty much on the same page, it's the same source. Velo Amar, and what you didn't say, and what you should have said is, Hachi Amar Mar, so says the master. But rather you say, we say. It's disrespect, it's insolence, it's a lack of reverence to your Rebbe. That's an apikaris, right? The general idea that we'll see time and again throughout this discussion Apikoros is somebody who lacks respect. The parameters of what we're looking for is what precisely is he disrespecting, right? Is he disrespecting the Pesukim, the Talmidei Chachamim, right? And again, the only issue that we're having is an issue of definition. We want to know, we're going to try to find more of a precise definition of who this Apikoros is. Rav Amar Kegon Hani Debe Binyamin Asya De Amri Maya Hani Le Rabbanan Me Olam Lo Shar Le Orva Velo Asrin Le Yona. Rava gives another definition of what an apikoros is. The house of Binyamin, who happened to be a family of doctors, say the Gemara. The doctors are good people, right? I got a couple of them sitting very close to me, within striking range. But the house of Binyamin, who happened to be a family of physicians, they were not so into Talmidei Chacham. They thought that they were useless, right? To quote the what the family of Binyamin would say, Lo Sharulan Orva, top of Kuf Amud Aleph, top line, Lo Sharulan Orva Velo Asur Lan Yona. They never said a raven would be permitted. They never said a Yona, a pigeon, a dove, would be prohibited. Would be prohibited. Meaning, basically, I got all the information in the Torah. I don't understand what Talmidei Chachamim are there for. Right? If Talmidei Chachamim said that a raven was permissible, that would be exciting. Then I understand the function of a Talmid Chacham. If they said that a Yona would be prohibited, that also would be not that exciting, but at least, you know, then they have a function. But if all they're doing is just repeating what's being said in the Torah, so what's the purpose of Talmidei Chachamim? Rava says that's an apikoros. That will be your working definition of an apikoros. Again, it's not a definition, it's an example, as I pointed out. Right? It'll be more example-based than actual definition-based. But that's an apikoros. So Rava, and then Gemara gives a very, very sharp jab. Rava ki ava maisei tereifta de Bei Binyamin kamei. And then when the family of Binyamin would come over to the house of Rava, and they would come over with a bird, and the bird has a possible treifa, right? One of the internal organs of the bird has been punctured or severed, and there's an entire litany of laws that describe in detail when it is a treifa, when it isn't a treifa, and along comes a member of the house of Binyamin over to Rava and says to Rava, is this a treifa or is this not a treifa? And it's right. I hope everyone appreciates the irony that it was the house of Binyamin says that these rabbis are worthless because what good are they? And meanwhile, they're bringing over this bird to Rava in order to see whether it's a treifa or not. And this irony certainly was not lost upon Rava. Ki havachazi beitaimi lahetera, if Rava looked at it and felt for whatever reason, based on the halacha, that it's not a treifa, amalahu, so he would hand back the bird to Binyamin and he would say to him, techazu dekashar lecha orva. You know what I just did? I just permitted a raven. Meaning, I know, the bird is not a raven. But your question was, what's the value of Talmidei Chachamim? They're not adding anything to the Torah. It's absolutely not true. You have a question of treifa. You present me a treifa. You want to now know, is it permissible or is it forbidden? I'm handing it back to you and I'm telling you it's permissible. Even though there is indications that it's a treifa, but I know based on the halakha that it's not. So I'm permitting a raven. And conversely, if he felt that there was a reason to say that it's Asr, I'm prohibiting a Yonah to you. Again, it's a play on what the house of Binyamin were saying. It's not, right, I'm not prohibiting a Yonah. It just happens to be that because this animal's a treifa, and because you needed my input on the matter, so I'm telling you it's really as a result of me. Okay, Rava's sharp point is that there may be a value to Talmidei Chachamim. Right. Rav Papa Amar Kegon D'Amar Hani Rabbanan, Rav Papa Kegon D'Amar Hani Rabbanan. Right, Rav Papa says, I'll give you another, again, definition, but example of what Apikoros is, Hani Rabbanan, those rabbis. Right, that's something, by the way, which unfortunately you hear a lot. Right, those rabbis. Right, that's insolence. That's disrespect. That also would be an example of an apikoros. Rav Papa Yishtalev Amar Kegon Hani Rabbanan, the Asiv B'Tanisa. Rav Papa himself one time didn't mean it, but the words those rabbis came out of his mouth, and he felt terrible, and he sat and fasted, in order to do tshuva for the fact that the words actually came out of his mouth. Levi bar Shmuel v'Rav Huna bar Chia have come and talked to Matbechos Safer de Rav Yehuda. Two Amorayim, Levi bar Shmuel, Rav Huna bar Chia, they were making mantles, covers for Sifrei Debei Rav Yehuda. Svarim over here, of course, means Sifrei Tanakh, right? The books of the Tanakh. Kimat to Megillas Esther. They get now to Megillas Esther. Amri ha Megillas Esther lo by mitzvachas. Megillas Esther, it's not chumish, it's not navi, it's, you know, something less than that. Doesn't need a mitzvachas, doesn't need a cover. Amalahu. So he said to them, ki ay gavna nami mechze ki af karusa. That looks like apikarsis. It smells like apikarsis. Meaning that when you are deriding, when you're degrading Megillas Esther because it's not chumish, it's not navi, it's, you know, something less than that, doesn't have the name of God in it. So and you make a comment like that. So mechze ki af karusa. It looks like apikarsis, right? It's interesting that he says it doesn't say it is, right? He says it looks like it. Perhaps because their intent is really not to deride it or degrade it, but nevertheless, though, certainly smells like apikursus. Rav Nachman Amar Zakari Rabba Bishma. Again, more examples of what apikursus is. Rav Nachman says, you refer to your Rebbe by his first name. Much like you're not allowed to call your own parents by their first names, that's a sign of disrespect, right? Same thing is true regarding your Rebbe. Call your Rebbe by his first name, and that's also a tremendous lack of respect towards your Rebbe. And that is apikursus. That's also a lack of respect. Amar Rebbe Yochanan Ibn Mananesh Gechazi. Gechazi was punished. Now, Gechazi went through a lot of punishments. Gechazi was the attendant of Elisha Hanavi. And a number of things that he did wrong. When Naaman was cured of his sara'as, so Naaman wanted to pay Elisha for curing, and Elisha says, "No, I don't take a fee, right? This is part of my job." And then Naaman went over to him and says, "No, you know, my master, he asked if you could just give me the money." And that's one of the acts of Gehazi. But the Gemara over here is asking in general, right? The Gemara's not referencing that. The Gemara's just asking in general, Gehazi was really separated from Elisha. Because there was a point where Gehazi showed such a tremendous disrespect to Elisha Hanavi, referred to him by his first name. Right, he was talking about what some of the great things Elisha did. Elisha revived the dead, resurrected a child from the dead, and Elisha was saying it over to, I think he was talking to Hiram, I don't remember. Anyway, and he says Asher Hechaya Elisha. He shouldn't have said that, even though it's interesting. Even though Elisha wasn't there. Right, but still, the idea of him talking about his Rebbe and using the Rebbe just by his first name, that is apikursus. That's a lack of disrespect. Yosef Rav Yirmiyah Kaben de Rebbe Zer v'Yosef Kamer Asir Kosh Baruch Hu La'utzi Nachal Mibes Kachay Kedoshim V'Alav Kol Minim Egadim. Rav Yirmiyah is sitting in front of Rebbe Zera, and he darshans the following. He says there will be a river flowing out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the future, in the third base of Mikdash. There's going to be a river flowing out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the inner sanctuary, and Megadim, delicacies will be coming out of the river, growing from the river. Shenema, and the Pasuk Yecheskel pretty much spells this out. V'lanachol ya'aleh al-sfasom mizeh u'mizeh kol eitz ma'achal lo yibol aleihu v'lo yatam piryo l'chadashav Yivakir ki meimav min hamikdash hema yotzim vaya piryo l'machal ve'alehu lisrufa. Pasuk Yecheskel describes this river coming out of the Kodesh, coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, and trees will come out of it, and people will eat the fruit, and the leaves will be used for medicine. So the leaves that grow from the trees from the river, based on the river that flows out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is going to be used for trufa. They're going to be used for medicine. So Amar Le'usaba Yiyasher V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So an elderly comes over to him and gives him a Yeshikoach and says that's a beautiful drasha. And V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing as well. So Amar Le Rav Yirmiyah la Rabbi Zeira. So Rav Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zeira, the ki haigavna mechze afkarusa. That also seems like apikursis as well. The right v'chein amar Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan says the same thing as well. Right, it's a slight, it's a disrespect, and that also seems like apikursis. Amalei hai hasiyua kamisayea lecha. So the Gemara says, I just said that as a support. I didn't mean to be irreverent by saying that. Ela ishmela chashmela chihadi yasir Rav Yochanan the kadarish. So the Gemara says, if anything, it goes like this. Rav Yochanan darshes asid akash baruch lavi avanim tovus amargolios shem shloshim ashloshim amos. We're going to go through another possible example of what apikursis is. Rav Yochanan darshens that in the future for the third Beis HaMikdash, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring these precious stones that are going to be 30 by 30 amos. Okay, an amma is about 2 feet. You're talking about stones that are 60 by 60 feet. Okay? V'chokik bahem esabarum esrim. And what you're going to do is you're going to make basically an entrance, 10 by 20, which is, in Beis HaMikdash terminology, pretty much a standard entrance, right? 10 by 20. Uma'amidan b'sha'arei Yerushalayim, and they're going to be in the gates of Yerushalayim, shenemar v'samti katkod shimsho sayach v'sha'arayach la'avnei ekdach. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, describing stones that are going to be used for the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay. So, fine. So far, so good. Rav Yochanan is talking about these future stones, humongous stones, 60 by 60 feet approximately, and we're going to carve out an entrance of 10 by 20. Pretty innocuous. Again, fantastic, but doesn't seem to be anything that crazy. Liglagalav Oso Atamid, along comes a student and starts ridiculing and making fun of this drasha. Amar Hashta Kabiyasa did Siltsala Lo Mishkachinan Kulehai Mishkachinan. What? I don't understand what you're talking about. I never seen such a stone in my life. You talk about precious stones. So you mine precious stones, you'll find, right, a little chip. You may find something, the volume of an egg, but you're not going to find precious stone that is 60 by 60 feet. There's no such thing. So this student goes over to Rabbi Yochanan and says, that's really ridiculous, it's absurd. There is no such thing. Le'yamim. Now, story continues. He fliges finasoba yam chazin l'malach esharas ha'kam nasra avanim tovos or margolios. This student goes on a journey, and in this journey, actually sees Malachi Asharis, angels, who are quarrying these huge stones. Okay? I don't know where he went. The Gemara doesn't tell us. It doesn't really matter. Amalu Hani Laman, and he turns to the Malachi Asharis and he says, what's going on here? Amrei, Atei Lekosh Baruch Lami Demeshari Yerushalayim. So the Malach Hashar says, well, you know, we're going to use these for the future. This is going to be for the building of the third base of Mikdash. This is going to be for the gates of Jerusalem. And then the student goes back to Rav Yochanan. The Yasdavik Kadarish, your Rav Yochanan at the time was darshaning. Amalei Rebbe Durosh. So he gives the green light to Rabbi Yochanan. Keep going. You're doing great. Ulechana Eladrosh. And you're doing a great job. Kishem Shamarta Kachriiti. He says, you know, it's amazing. You said something in a previous year, and I thought you were out of your mind. And then I saw it. And now I'm saying, keep going. So Amar Lo. So I hope everyone appreciates that this is irreverent beyond words. Right? That, right? Now that he saw it, So now he's a believer, and everything Rav Yochanan is saying now is true because now he saw with his own eyes. Reka, Rav Yochanan turns to him and says, "You are so empty. Im lo reisa lo ha'emanta. If you didn't see it, you wouldn't believe it, right? I'm giving you a tradition. Malagleg al divrei chachamim ata. You mock and you ridicule the words of chachamim. Yahav ba'ene." The Asu Galshel Atsamos. He turned his eye, Rav Yochanan, and turned his eye to the student, Ayin Ra, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, and he turned into Galshel Atsamos. He turned into a pile of bones. Don't mess with Talmid Chachamim. Okay, Meizve. It's funny. The segue of this Gemara. Yeah, we've gone through this Gemara before. The segue of this Gemara is somewhat curious. because the whole point of the story is, don't question the Chachamim, and the Gemara rifts immediately into, hold on a second, I have a question on what Rabbi Yochanan said. But it's, first of all, the Gemara is asking it, the Gemara is basing it on a Braisa, so it's not the same. Next way, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on the Braisa. I will bring you back Komimios. Komimios literally means straight, like upright. How tall are we going to be on our return back to Yerushalayim? So, Rameir darshins, and he says, 200 amos tall. Are we supposed to take him literally? I don't know. Certainly, it sounds from the Gemara, I'll tell you this, right? Because I know there are going to be, you know, people who do not, who prefer not to take the Gemara literally. That's very tall, 200 amos. But, very tall. But, twice the height of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was 100 amos tall. Okay. But I will say this, though. It's not bizarre to understand the Gemara literally, because what the Gemara is questioning is the dimensions of an entrance of a gate into Jerusalem. So it's clear from the Gemara that we're talking about the height of the gate not being tall enough simply because we can't fit through. So from the simple pshat in the Gemara, you know, which I generally speaking am defensive about, the simple pshat of the Gemara, it does seem that we're going to be exceedingly tall in the times of Mashiach. Right? This is certainly not a Shmuel approach to how things will end up being. Okay, so it's not a Shmuel approach. So anyway, Kishtei Amos Shal Adam Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kuf Amar, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, we're only going to be 100 Amos tall. Keneged Heichal Koslav, right? The corresponding to the height of the Heichal and the walls of the Heichal, Shenamar, Asher Baninu Kinetim Megudalim B'Na'areyem B'Nosenu Kizavios Mechotavos Tavnis Heichal. We will be like the Tavnis HaHeichal, we will be like the structure, the edifice of the Heichal. Okay? So, the question, the point that bothers Gemara is that Rav Yochanan is talking about making an entrance 10 by 20. And let's say 20 is the height, and 10 is the width. But that's not good, because Kipshuto, the simple pshat of the Gemara, is that we're going to be way too tall to fit in into such an entrance. Kikama Rav Yochanan le kave de bezika. Rav Yochanan was not describing the entrances into Yerushalayim. They're going to be much taller. We're talking about some sort of ventilation, some sort of air duct that was used to help get in and out of the Beis HaMikdash, but the actual entrances themselves are going to be much, much taller. Okay. We quoted earlier this morning a pasuk from Yechezkel describing a river flowing out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in which there are going to be trees growing from that river. People are going to eat the fruit. The alehu lisrufa, and the leaves will be a trufa. They're going to be a medicine. So my valelu trufa. Rav Yitzchak bar Avodimi v'Rav Chista chara mala hatir peshel mala v'chara mala hatir peshel mata. It's going to help an orifice. Right, the Gemara has some tradition that it's there to help an orifice, either the mouth or the or a lower orifice. Now, when we say lower orifice, could be a bowel, a GI issue. It could be, the Gemara will seem to suggest in just a moment, it could be a woman helping a woman conceive. Right? Itmar chizki amalahatir pe ilman bar kapar amalahatir pe akaros. This same debate expresses itself amongst Amoraim. Chizkiah says, it'll help the mute, meaning that if somebody's a mute, they'll eat from this leaf and they'll be able to talk. Bar Kapara says that they have a woman who is barren, she can't produce a child, she'll eat the leaf and it will help her sterility. Rav Yochanan Amar L'trufa Mamish. Rav Yochanan says, we're talking about real medicine. My L'trufa, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar L'tor Panim Shel Baalei HaPeh. To help the Baalei Panim, the faces of the Baalei HaPeh, those who spoke. Exactly what that means. All right, it may become evident in just a moment. Darshav Yehuda b'Rabbi Simon Klam Mashka Panav Al Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavik Zivav LaOlam Haba. Somebody who's Mashker Panav, it's an expression the Gemara uses, literally means he blackens his face. Meaning that he's an ascetic. He doesn't eat a lot, he doesn't drink a lot, he doesn't enjoy a lot of this world, and he sacrifices in order to learn Torah. Mashker Panav, his face becomes black because just simply he doesn't nourish himself enough so that he'll learn Torah. Says the Gemara, I'm not sure if the Gemara is fully on board with such self-sacrifice for the learning of Torah, right? Generally speaking, the Torah talks about us maintaining our health, but somebody who sacrifices for that purpose, Mavik Zivav L'Olam Haba, Kadosh Baruch Hu will restore his countenance in the world to come. Shenamar Mareo Kalavon Bachor Karazim. Amar Av Tanchum Bar Chani Lai Kol Amar Av Atzmal Adivei Torah Balam Azeh. Anyone who starves himself over Torah in this world, again, sacrifices the pleasures of eating in excess in order to be learning Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be Ola Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide him Soveya in the world to come. Shenamar Yir Vayum Midesh Beisecha V'Nachal Adanecha Tashkein. Kadosh Baruch Hu will give Malo Omso. Malo Omso, his handful, he will give to the tzaddikim. Kol tzaddik v'tzaddik. Shenemar, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom Ya'amos Lanu, Ha'el Yeshuasenu Sela. He will give Ya'amos Lanu. He will give to us. Amar Yabai v'chiyev shalom. Amar kem alok v'anemar. Ki madad b'shalom mayim v'shamayim b'zeres tikein. What are you talking about? These are just kind of hard to conceptualize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can just simply hand something over to us. The pasuk says, mi madad b'shalom mayim. You can't measure the ocean with your hand. Right? B'zeres tikein. Using the zeres, the distance between your thumb and your pinky. Right, you can't measure the heavens. So how do you measure these things? Amar my time alo shchicha ba'agarata. So he said, his response is, you know, you should be learning agarata much more often. You'd understand these things if you learned agarata more often. Da amar b'ma'arav mishmei derava barmari asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten l'chol tzadik v'tzadik gimel me'os v'asar olamos. Every tzadik is going to have a storehouse. You know, right? Sometimes we don't have enough room in our houses for all of our stuff. So we have storages, and you know, and they became very popular. So the Gemara says that each tzaddik is going to get 310 olamos, and that will be the storehouse, and that will be able to store everything that's given to him by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar lahan chaloa ve'yesh, but ve'otrosayim. And I'm going to fill the storehouses. So I'm going to give my oavai, my beloved, yesh. Yesh begamatria atlas mea ve'asara. The Yud Shin is 310. That's how many olamos. Okay? Obviously, much more could be made about the Gemara in terms of the Darshanot, but we have still a lot more to go this morning. A lot more. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer B'Midah Shadda Modeid Modin Din Lo. Rabbi Meir, one of Rashi's favorite themes on Chumash, which when you read Rashi and Chumash, you'll see time and again is Mida Keneged Mida. Right? Measure for measure. And over here, the Gemara spells it out. Rabbi Meir says, call, all right, b'midah shada modid modid din lo. The way you measure is the way it's going to be measured for you. Dechsi b'sa'asa b'shacha terivena. Sa'asa comes from the word sa'ah, right? Unit. Kadosh Baruch Hu operates on a unit per unit basis. I'm Rav Yoshua v'chiyav shalom arkein adam nosnei malei amso la'ani ba'olam hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu nosnei lo malei amso la'olam haba. The Rav Yoshua is somewhat troubled by that. He has difficulty understanding this. You give to an ani malo amso, meaning you give him a handful of food or whatever, money. Kadosh Baruch, how does that work? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a handful in olam haba? Doesn't seem to be midah keneged midah. Rav Yochanan just has a hard time processing. V'haksev shamayim b'zeres tikein. Right, we just quoted the pasuk. People can't measure shamayim using their hands. It doesn't seem to be measure per measure. So v'ata yomer kein. So the answer to Rav Yochanan is: look, I don't have a problem with this. Ezu imida meruba mida tova meruba o mida peranias. Look, which mida is a stronger mida? Mida tova mida peranias. Avi omer. Mida tova meruba mi mida peranios. The mida tova is stronger than mida peranios. Be mida tova ksiv vayitzav shchakim emale v'dalsei shamayim pasach v'yamte aleim man le'echol. In Tehillim, David goes over the idea of man falling from the heaven. Dalsei shamayim. Right? So, and by Midas Paranios it says va'arubos. Aruba is, Rashi says, the Dela is much greater than the Aruba. Right? So, by Mida Tova is just a stronger attribute of God than Mida Paranios. I'm sorry. When it comes to the Rishaim, so who receive punishment, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describe that their bodies are going to be laid out. This is the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is describing the Armageddon, the Battle of Gog and Magog, and after our defeat of Gog and Magog, their carcasses are going to be laid out to rot. And the Navi describes in fantastic detail that their bodies are going to be burning, their bodies are going to be infested with worms, and still, the bodies won't decay. Meaning that it will be on public display for everyone to see. So, and yet, you stick your finger in a fire and immediately gets burnt. So this idea that retribution comes on a greater proportion, look, you see by Yeshayahu how, right, in this world, you put your finger next to a little fire and you get burnt, and meanwhile, the retribution for these poshim, for these sinners, is going to be a continuous burning of their bodies without it expiring, and right? And if that's true for Mida Paranios, can you imagine what it's going to be for Mida Tova, for the reward that we receive? So yeah, so when you extend your hand to an Ani and you give him something, you give the Ani something, so the idea that Akash Baruch Hu will hand you something in Olam Haba should not be bizarre. Right, just like Akash Baruch Hu strengthens Rishayim to receive more punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strengthen Tzadikim to actually receive more reward. So this is not, it's not bizarre. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer Afakor B'Sfarim HaChitzonim. Rabbi Kiva says that if you read Sfarim HaChitzonim, that is also someone who doesn't have Chelek La'olam Haba. Sfarim HaChitzonim, Tana B'Sifrei Tzedukim. So the Tana tells us, the Braisa tells us, that we're talking about Sifrei Tzedukim, works of the Tzedukim. Tzedukim, generally speaking, now with these kinds of Gemaras, you're really not sure, right? Is this an edited version, right? What exactly? Which Sfarim is the Gemara making reference to? The Braisa making reference to when it says Sifrei Tzedukim? It's very unclear. What will be very clear is Rav Yosef's edition. Rav Yosef Amar B'Sefer Ben Sira, Nami Aser L'Mikre. Rav Yosef takes a very interesting position. You're not allowed to read Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira, for those of you who've been in the daf long enough, you'll know, right? It's not bad. In fact, the rest of today's daf will be discussing Sefer Ben Sira. The Gemara quotes it all the time, right? It's written by Ben Sira. Who exactly he is subject to a debate. There are legends, I don't have a source for this, that he's the son of Yeshayahu. His work was not canonized, meaning that we have many all the Sifrei Tanakh are quote-unquote canonized. Canonized just simply means that they had a vote, they took a vote, and they became part of the body of Tanakh, the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. So canonization means that they were accepted. Ben Sira's work was not canonized, so it was not accepted as Sifrei Tanakh. Rav Yosef is taking a very bold position over here, a strong position, that shouldn't read it. It's basically in the camp, in the category of heretical works, and you shouldn't read it. So from this point forward to the rest of today's daf, I don't know if I'll be able to finish today, but from this point forward, the Gemara is now going to engage in a very fascinating discussion as to whether or not Ben Sira is really heretical work. And so what we're going to do is we're going to quote excerpts from Ben Sira. To say I'm not an expert is a joke. I didn't go through Ben Sira. I don't know enough about Ben Sira. My knowledge of Ben Sira is limited to whatever the Gemara quotes from Ben Sira. But from the few citations that the Gemara is going to quote, the Gemara is going to try to ascertain as to whether or not it in fact is a heretical work. Yeah,
sure.
Apocrypha, it's called in English. Amalei Abaye Maitaima. So what's the reason? Ilema Bishum Dechasa Bay. So here we're going to quote now. Lontintosh Gildana Miune Delo Lezo Mashke Lachavala Elatsli Yase Benura the Echo Bay Tartan Greepsin. Okay. First of all, Ben Sira wrote in Aramaic. Okay. You have a fish. Don't strip the fish from the skin that's behind the ears, but right behind the gill, but rather roast it, right? Sli means to roast it in fire, and eat it together with two greetsim. What are greetsim?
Cakes of bread.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, whatever. Whatever the side dish is that Ben Sira is describing. Okay, so right, you understand, the Gemara is going to explain all this, but you understand though, as we're reading through Sefer Ben Sira, it seems a little nonsensical, right? It's like telling us, it's like recipes. It's like cookbook. So the Gemara says is that what from this one pasuk, it certainly sounds like, you know, this is just not the kind of thing that people should be spending their time learning. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Imi pashtei ba'oraisa namiksiv lo tishchad es eitzah. So the Gemara says, it's not bad. First of all, what is it saying? If it's edible part of the fish, don't throw it out. Bal tashchis. That has a value, and that's in the Torah. And if Ben Sira is just echoing what we're learning in the Torah, that's not a bad thing. That's number one. Number two, imi drasha arachar kamash malon daloli bal shalok kedarka. Or maybe you want to darshan the pasuk in Ben Sira, and fish is always a reference to multiplying and procreating, right? V'yidgu larov, right? Multiply like fish, and maybe as a drasha, maybe what it's saying over here is that when a man and a woman have relations, he should not have anal intercourse, but rather he should have regular intercourse in order to have children. Maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. So, and that also would have a value. So it's not that's from that pasuk alone, it's not heretical. In fact, it's pretty good. V'ala mishum dichsiv bat la'avia matmones shav mipachta lo yisham balayla. A daughter, okay, I'm sorry, Rabbi Joshua. A daughter to her father is a treasure that is in vain. Mipachda lo yishan, you don't sleep at night. Bekanusa shematit pata, while she's still a child, you're worried that she's going to be seduced. Benarusa shematizane, as she gets on and moves on to the stage of narus, you're afraid that she's going to get, she'll have a illicit relationship. Bagra shemalotinase, as she gets older, then you have your next sleepless nights of, well, maybe she's not going to get married. Nise shemalo yalo banim. And then, as she goes on through her child-producing years, you're now going to, next fit of worry is that she's not going to have children. He's kina, and then as she gets to an older woman, shematasek shafim. She may become a witch, as many Jewish women become witches. So, okay. All right. We learned earlier in the Gemara that the reason why the Torah says mach shefa, there's a prohibition for men and women to become witches and sorcerers, but generally speaking, it was the women who became sorcerers, and that's why the Torah says mach shefa in the feminine and not in the masculine. Anyway, so what Ben Sira is teaching us is that having a girl is a lifetime of worry from the time that she's a child all the way till she's an old woman. So it's matmoneshav, says Ben Sira. And the Gemara says, okay, but that's not heretical. In fact, not only is that not heretical, harabanan ami amrua. Right? Not that long ago, we learned the same thing as well, as we're learning it right now. Below is the charm of Alona Kevos. Right? We saw this in the beginning of Baba Basra. The world needs boys and girls, needs men and women. Right? That's how the world operates. The world needs both. Asher mishabanam zecharim or ilona mishabanam nekevos. But if you happen to be on the boy side of the coin, so you're fortunate and unfortunate as the one who has girls. So the Gemara Baba Basra says it. Ben Sira says it. Again, there's a value to that pasuk. It's not heretical. So one more time, see how many more. We'll do one more. One more time, The Gemara is still yet struggling to find where's the heretical statements, or for that matter, even valueless statements of Ben Shira. El mishum dichsev lo sa'il davya b'libecha degabri gavrin katil davya. Don't worry, says the pasuk in Ben Shira, right? Lo sa'il davya b'libecha, right? Devei means sorrow. Don't let sorrow enter into your heart. There's no point in that. The Gemara says that that pasuk in Ben Shira also has a value. Hashlama amra daga b'lev ish yisichena. That if you have daga in your heart, yisichena. Yisichena means one of two things. Rabbi Amir Ravasi Chanama yisichena midato. One approach is distract yourself from the worry. Meaning just occupy your time with other thoughts. Don't worry. V'chanama yisichena l'acherim. Another approach is that if you have a lot of worry, so share with a friend. And sharing it with a friend will either he'll give you a good eitzah, he'll give you a good piece of advice of how to deal with it, or just sometimes getting something off your chest also is a value and also is helpful. So, okay, so that also is not a valueless statement in Ben Shira. Okay, good. We've gone through so far a number of psukim in Ben Shira. We've yet to find the problem in Ben Shira. Rav Yosef contended that Ben Shira is a safer of a heretical work, one that should not be learned. And still, as we go through it, we're gonna struggle to see if there's anything that's really heretical or valueless in the work of Ben Shira. Also, spent a good part of this morning discussing what not bikaris is. As I mentioned, the Gemara gives more example than it gives definition. Example is just easier to do in terms of helping us define and understand what not bikaris is. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.